Speak up.
You're listening to Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. We're the campus and community radio station at Simon Fraser University, where we broadcast from unceded Coast Salish territories.
Good morning and welcome to Speak Up here on CJSF 90.1 FM. My name is Magnus Tiefold. Today we have a very interesting program for you, a panel discussion from our colleagues at the Burnaby Beacon on what is the identity of Burnaby. It's an issue that many suburban cities struggle with, overshadowed by the omnipresence of the central city. Let's turn it over to Simran Singh, editor of the Burnaby Beacon, to introduce our panel for today.
Thank you so much for joining us tonight for our very first Burnaby Beacon panel, which is Finding Burnaby's Identity. My name is Simran Singh, and I'm the managing editor of the Burnaby Beacon. And I just want to give a shout out to my colleagues, Marco, Srishti, Dustin, and Chandler. And the Beacon wouldn't be the Beacon without them. So thank you so much. And of course, this wouldn't happen without the support of our wonderful audience and our panelists. Hi, everyone. Nice to see you. And before I say hi to our panelists and introduce them, I do want to acknowledge that we are on the ancestral and unceded homelands of the Hunkanum and Squamish-speaking peoples. And we're so grateful to be able to live, work, and play on these lands every day. Now, to introduce our panelists, the guest stars of the evening. First, we have the wonderful Antonia Beck. She was a Burnaby resident in 1996 when she helped establish the South Burnaby Neighborhood House. Antonia worked for the Association of the Neighborhood Houses for over 20 years before becoming the executive director of SBNH, which was renamed Burnaby Neighborhood House in 2014. Antonia's leadership over the past 25 years and expertise in the not-for-profit sector has contributed to developing a strong and responsive community agency. So if you heard about the Neighborhood House, Antonia is behind it all. Next, we have Andy Yan. You might have seen him on Twitter tweeting away about all things housing policy development. He is the director of the city program at Simon Fraser University. Prior to his SFU appointment, Andy has extensively worked in the nonprofit and private urban planning sectors with projects in the metropolitan regions of Vancouver, San Fran, New York City, LA, and New Orleans. What a repertoire. And he's also an adjunct professor in urban studies at SFU. He is also on the board of directors for the Planning Institute of British Columbia. And last but not least, we have Victor Yin. He is a queer human geographer, writer, and housing program analyst. Victor was born and raised in Burnaby and studied at SFU. He is currently a member of the SFU Climate and Sustainability Student Leadership Council and SFU Department of Geography's EDI committee. So those are our three wonderful panelists joining us tonight. I know we're not all in a banquet hall or a place where we're all physically present, but let's just give our panelists a nice round of applause. And thank you for joining us. So tonight's format, it's pretty casual, nothing too, no bells and whistles. We're just going to be having an honest chat about Burnaby and its identity. So we're gonna do a couple questions, and we can do it in the order of maybe Andy, Antonia, Victor, and we'll switch it up. I have a couple questions planned for individual panelists as well. So let's get into the discussion, and just remember to unmute my lovely panelists when we're headed over. To answer these questions. So this idea for this panel actually started from a tweet. I mean, what good ideas always start from tweeting, right? And I asked a few weeks ago, does Burnaby have an identity? And if it does, what is it? And if it doesn't, why? What are the factors that make it not have an identity? So let's just start with the big question here. Do you think Burnaby has a distinct identity? If yes, why? And if not, why? And Andy, I'll let you take the floor. And for the sake of time, let's try for a minute. And I may have to kindly interrupt if we're going over individual responses. So please don't mind me. But Andy, you have the floor.
Oh, thank you so much. Yes, indeed. I strongly believe that that Burnaby does have an identity. And I think that it's one that is changing. It's one that I think is emerging, I think, as any community in metropolitan Vancouver. I think that part of it is how young the metropolitan area are, is that very much when Indigenous, the various Indigenous nations here or here time immemorial, when we talk about the settler society here, is that we find out that, well, actually, funny enough, the city of Burnaby this year is 130 years old, that it actually celebrates a birthday in 1892. So really how much I think that I think is a marker, and really how much that changes, I think, is going into how I think I put in a rather tweet talking about how Burnaby is a world beyond boundary, and that in that element of beyond boundary, it's not past hope, if you will, and how it's between outside a boundary and just not past hope, that I think it is a very unique community, but then through which I think it's really, I think, one through which it's created by those who live here.
Thanks, Andy. And Antoni, moving on to you, you know, you've worked in the community for years. So what's your perspective of Burnaby's identity? Does it have one? Oh, you got on mute. There we go. Oh, we can't hear you. Oh, I think I can hear you. Victor, how about we move on to you? And Antoni, I'll just let you maybe tweak your sound and see if you can get that going. Victor, go ahead.
Sure, yeah, I can jump in. Yeah, echoing Andy, I think Burnaby does have quite a strong identity. I wouldn't necessarily say that Burnaby has like a flashy identity per se, but it definitely does have a distinct identity in itself. And I feel like anyone who's grown up in Burnaby or has lived in Burnaby for a while, you definitely get the sense that there is like a sort of vibe around it. Yeah,
maybe Burnaby's identity is kind of in the works and we're just trying to figure it out. But also geographically, we're right beside Vancouver. And that kind of maybe screws up our identity a little bit. There's often this idea that Burnaby is just a suburb outside of Vancouver or just an extension of Vancouver. I don't know if you guys have seen on social media when somebody goes to the Amazing Brentwood, they're like, look at this cool place in Vancouver. And you're like, this is not Vancouver. So what are some things that are distinctly Burnaby that separate us from Vancouver as a whole? And what are these distinct qualities for you? Andy, I'll start with you, but you know what, Antoni, I know we're having a little bit of difficulty with the sound, so I'm just going to tweak something technically. Andy, go ahead. Antoni, I'm going to add you back to the panel. We're just a work in progress right now. But Andy, please take the floor.
Well, thank you so much. And I think that I think in kind of prepping for this panel, there are, I think, a couple of really interesting books out there. I think the one that was almost a kind of key reference was this little book that I'm not sure folks ever kind of read. That this is a neat little book edited by Len Evenden, who was a geographer at SFU, called Suburb of Happy Homes, Burnaby. And it's a series of essays about Burnaby in its first century. That it, I think, really goes into talking about really the kind of historic as well as geographic, objects that have occurred over, I think, over time, in this case, for its first century. And I think that a lot of it, I think, goes in towards understanding that I think several things kind of, I think, really, I think, have gelled in terms of what Burnaby is and how it has kind of come together and towards understanding really how it's, you know, the very motto of Burnaby is by river and sea rise. And I think that really kind of talks about really the physical kind of characteristics of Burnaby, the land that I think has shaped its identities. But then, of course, I think within the book, it talks about how Burnaby is a working class suburbia, that unlike other types of suburbia that we have, which were really middle class or in itself a white collar. Burnaby, in really talking about the history of the city, really goes in towards how it's a working class. And you kind of see it in its own politics. You see it in its own history about how it is this working class suburbia. And I think for me, it's then you kind of then come out with various slogans that we're not Vancouver is perhaps one possible slogan. I think other ones, I think one personal one that I do like is the original TOD, that when it comes to transit-oriented development, that where the Cariboo Goldfields formed New Westminster, the completion of the Canadian Pacific Railway did Vancouver in 1886. Well, for Burnaby, it's very much the completion of the Central Park Tramway and really how that, I think, element of point of transportation, of transit, really is a key part of that, of how the city perhaps sees itself, is that transit as going to Burnaby is very, going to Brentwood is very much about, say, for many people taking the SkyTrain, as opposed to just, say, even depending, being a suburb, a traditional suburb, being car dependent. So I think that is really perhaps one aspect of identity is actually how, for Burnaby, transportation really shapes your idea of the community.
Thank you, Andy. Antonia, fingers crossed. Let's see. Do you want to try and unmute? Let's see if we can hear you. I know it worked because we were testing something out. You might want to check your mic settings. But until then, I'll leave you to mute because there's a little bit of feedback on your end. But thank you, Antonia. And I just hope you can check your mic settings. I will try and do a quick check with you to get you on here. I'm so sorry about that. But Victor, moving on to you, what distinguishes Burnaby from Vancouver? I mean, what are those qualities that make us different?
Yeah, that's a great question. And, you know, I really wish Antonia could jump in because I'm sure they have a lot more to say about the community piece in Burnaby. But personally, I think that not being Vancouver is like a key piece of Burnaby's identity, which is kind of what it is kind of true. I think Burnaby definitely prides itself in a way on kind of just like not being Vancouver. You know, like, we're different. Like, we're not an Evo home zone. We're separate. So that is, I think, a part that kind of makes Burnaby Burnaby. Like, we are not part of Vancouver. But, you know, we do have, you know, multiple cores built around SkyTrain stations. We have, like, a really rich and ongoing Indigenous history in our area. You know, we do have some cool things. We have like our own events. We have like the Heights. So I do think that in many ways we do have like our own set of qualities that people do appreciate and love.
I agree. And then when we talk about housing, though, and I know both of you love to chat about housing. There's this anecdotal evidence of an affordability exodus here from people who can no longer live in Vancouver proper. So they shift over to Burnaby and it's just kind of this other place, the place besides Vancouver where, you know, it's close enough to go do all the fun things. And then you come back to Burnaby to your home base, but all the fun things happen in Vancouver. How do you think this kind of dynamic of housing impacts the city's identity? And Andy, Antonia, are you, why don't we just ask you for a second, how's your mic situation? I do have Trishy in the private chat. If you want to click there, you should. Okay, we're still having some mic problems. Okay, I will get Trishy just to try and maybe offer you some mic advice. We definitely hear some background noise, so there is something going on there. We just can't seem to hear your voice. But until then, I will just hope that you can figure out those settings. So how does that impact, sorry, just going back to my question, everyone, how does this idea of housing and this idea that Burnaby is, you know, just this place to move impact your identity? Do you see that in the conversations you're having? How much does housing come into play here? And Victor, why don't you take it? Or Andy, whoever wants to go first.
I was going to defer to Victor first.
Sure.
Okay, sure. Yeah, I think housing has definitely shaped a huge part of Brainerd's identity. And, you know, I think in the past, it was definitely, Burnaby was definitely seen as the place to move to as being more affordable, as like having a lot of suburbs, residential, so many schools. Like, it's very family friendly and like oriented in many ways. But definitely now and moving forward, I see, well, Burnaby is like the third most expensive city now in Canada for like one bedroom rentals. And, you know, people are moving even further out east and to the island. So I think that housing piece is definitely a tenuous issue, especially when it comes to Burnaby's identity. Like, we've had rent evictions and like Metrotown, like we've had some problematic housing developments recently. So I am interested to kind of see how that will shape Burnaby's identity going forward.
Right. It's interesting. I'm keeping one eye on the chat here, and Sandra talks about how the taxes in Burnaby are high. It's expensive to live here. That one of the aspects about the 50th anniversary of Burnaby was that they prided themselves about we're not as taxed as Vancouver. That very much that they talk about. Well, we have parallel values to the city of Vancouver, but we're not as well, but we're not as taxed. But I think that is, I think, part of that kind of emergence of really the city. That you have to imagine that this discussion about Burnaby, a suburb of happy homes, was on the 50th anniversary of the founding of the city of Burnaby, and really how much the idea of home and the idea of a secure home plays in part of how people feel about their community. That I think that this is, I think, a kind of key part of any city, of any kind of community, is where do you call home, and how do the kind of support systems that are built around the home really give you a sense of rootedness. And I think that is, I think, one of the kind of big elements about Burnaby is actually the kind of legibility of the community. How do you read Burnaby? And I think that is, I think, part of, you know, reading Burnaby is perhaps the main streets, you know, Boundary, North Road to the east, that Boundary to the west, and then Willingdon right in the middle as they kind of north-south, and then the, you know, the role of Hastings, Kingsway, definitely Kingsway, and how that all kind of helps form an idea of what a mental map of Burnaby might be.
And just thinking about maybe some other cities in Metro Vancouver, it's interesting when you think of identity, what comes to mind. I think Vancouver is a very distinct, has an identity, and there might be a few other municipalities in Metro Vancouver that do. In your mind, can you name a few cities that do you feel like do have that identity, and what makes that identity happen for them? What makes you think about XX city as having identity? Andy, does some city already come to mind? I see you nodding your head.
Well, it's one of those things about what is an identity? Is that is it having versus being? Mm-hmm. Right? It's like, you know, you can have certain things, and that does that make you into that person, or is it what a state of being? For having formerly lived in New York, I feel like you can't necessarily have New York, but you can be a New Yorker by, I think, why I feel a sense of neurosis, that being neurotic is a fairly good sign of being a New Yorker, or maybe that's just being an urbanite. But anyways, it's how I think those elements of having and being and how they play off of each other that I think goes in towards what is Burnaby. But then I think if we look at other examples, I think that, the interesting aspect is we look at Richmond, you know, a kind of similar kind of a suburb of Vancouver, meaning that there are a lot of people who live in that city, but yet perhaps commute to the city of Vancouver, which actually isn't that true anymore. But that really within Richmond, it certainly has kind of built and is seeing a very sizable change in its identity from a kind of agrarian kind of really backlot to feeding the city of Vancouver to really this kind of front interface for the Asia Pacific into not only into British Columbia, but into the rest of the country, and how much that really plays into its identity. But I think that that's really, I think, one through which I'm curious what Victor might think about other municipalities and their senses of sense of identity.
Before we jump to Victor, Antonia, sorry about all of this. I see you.
Can you hear me?
Yes,
we can hear I'm on my phone. I'm just gonna shut this laptop. Sorry. I've been Zooming all day on the laptop. I don't know why it hasn't worked. So I've lost track of the conversation because I was like panicking about tech.
That's okay. So. Why don't we take like a little breather / reset? Tech also makes me panic. I think we're in the age where like sound is off, muted, and we're all like, oh my God, this meeting isn't working. So all good. Maybe we'll just revert to you, Antonia, and get your voice in here a little bit, if you don't mind, Victor. We are just talking about municipalities in Metro Vancouver and which ones in your mind pop out as having a distinct identity, a place where you hear its name and you're like, I know what that city is about.
So out of all the questions you sent, I thought, I really don't pay attention to the other cities because I'm entrenched in the city of Burnaby. Burnaby is, you know, the city that I connect to, that I believe has an identity. And, I hardly leave, like I can say I've been to Vancouver like once in mm-hmm. the past year to go to a hockey game. But otherwise, I do not leave the city very, I don't leave Burnaby really very, very often. I mean, I'm now like one block away in New Westminster, but my whole connection is to the city of Burnaby and the people of Burnaby. The work I do is in Burnaby. Even my old neighbors, I still go there to see them in Burnaby because I did live in Burnaby for 25 years. But I think that identity of a city is really about the people. And who you talk to, it's the people that live there that create the identity for the city.
Mm-hmm. So, as you know, just going back to our previous questions there, you know, where you weren't able to answer. So, as somebody who you seem very entrenched in Burnaby, and Burnaby is your home base, it's everything you know, and everywhere you go is in Burnaby. I'm getting the sense that you do feel the city does have a distinct identity. Is that fair to say?
Absolutely. I think that Burnaby has a distinct identity. I've never, ever thought of it as a burb of Vancouver. I was born in Vancouver and moved to Burnaby in probably about 25 years ago, right? But but I really think I think it depends on who you ask in terms of, you know, are you, you know, do you think it's a suburb of Vancouver? I don't at all. I think Abbotsford is a suburb.
There we go. Well, no offense to anybody from the Valley listening. Sorry, guys. Victor, just hopping back to the question we were on, any cities that you think have a distinct identity that you're like, huh, this really stands out to me.
Yeah, and I also wanted to kind of follow on what Annie was saying, like, what is identity? And I think for me, a lot of what a city's identity is really about what we know about the cities, what we hear about the cities, like what is most salient about them, or like what comes to mind, what, if I mention a city, like, what do we think about? So I don't know, like Richmond, they have great food options. Vancouver, housing crisis, downtown, Stanley Park Seawall. And then Burnaby, I think Burnaby is really interesting because people interact with Burnaby in a lot of different ways. Maybe it's just like, oh, I commute through Burnaby. They have some great SkyTrain lines, or, you know, like maybe it's the parks. Maybe it is Metrotown and Crystal Mall and sort of thing. So, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, you know, for me, I think there's a few that stick out. I always think Port Moody, but then you automatically fall to Rocky Point Park and then the breweries. And then, you know, Surrey kind of has a distinct identity to me because I spend a lot of time there, a lot of my community's there. But I guess it really depends on where you hang out and where you go and what you like to do that form that idea of identity. And Antonia, you know, I do want to get your voice in here a little bit more. So I do want to know, because you're so entrenched in the community, you see the community, you work with your neighbors every day. From a community perspective, in what ways do you see community building efforts in the city creating a sense of identity for Burnaby? I think you do a lot of work behind the scenes at schools, at community centers that a lot of people might not see in the everyday life. If you're not involved in Burnaby Neighborhood House programming, how does that help shape your identity, your idea of identity in the city? How does that work for you?
So I think aside from the work that the Neighborhood House does, I think the city of Burnaby is, you know, definitely taking a look at how community is connected, and even with the different planning processes that they have, you know, just in terms of neighborhoods and neighborhood associations and that kind of thing. But in terms of the Neighborhood House, it's really about finding ways of connecting people to their place, to where they live, to their community. And it's really for the Burnaby Neighborhood House, it's really a way of, that we work and pulling neighbors in and engaging and finding ways that people can get involved and create that sense of place, that sense of belonging. And so in a city which is so diverse, with so many newcomers coming in, I think that sometimes it's hard to, that I think that that work has to happen. We have to provide opportunities and look for ways to connect people to each other. And when I think of Burnaby, I mean, aside from the work that Burnaby Neighborhood House is doing, and, you know, even in how we deliver programs might be a bit different than, you know, like Neighborhood Houses, when they're delivering programs, it's like, how do we get people involved in delivering this program? It's not all about, you know, dishing programs out. It's about involving people as volunteers and helping their neighbors and delivering the program. And that's the Neighborhood House model. But aside from the Neighborhood House, there's other structures in the city that help build community, such as the community schools and, you know, PACs and sports teams. And I think back, you know, 25 years ago when I moved to Burnaby, that's where my connection and my sense of belonging came from, was from the people that I met through the schools, through the PAC, and through the different you know, clubs and everybody. I always say that Burnaby is like this small town in the big city, right? Everybody kind of knows each other if you're working in community. And then in my professional work and within the interagency, Burnaby Interagency Council, you have a whole network of social services that are working together too. And there's committees for planning on different issues and on different fronts. And the festivals, like all the festivals, I heard one of you refer to the Heights, but it's not just the Heights. It's like all these interconnected festivals that are happening. There's the Pride Festival that's scheduled for, I think, July 23rd. There's the Edmond City Festival that's coming back, and the Rhododendron Festival. So the city is working really hard to do those connections too.
Thanks, Antonia. I think we all maybe need to be a little bit more like Antonia and just never leave Burnaby, and then we'll find out.
And then there's Studio Brewery, right? Studio Brewing that just opened up, right? Named a beer after the Burnaby Neighborhood House. I don't know if you noticed that. We had our own beer there for a bit. Of course, my husband went and bought a bunch, and we have some.
Yes, we are fans of Studio Brewing, and also Daggerad, who came up with the Burnabarian, our very own beer. So there is a sense of identity, definitely, with the local breweries, I think. moving on a little bit to the idea of, you know, housing density and the ever-changing skyline and landscape of Burnaby. does the concentration, and this is kind of open-ended, so whoever wants to chime in, please do, and then we'll just go in an order. Does the concentration of people through density necessarily create culture, or what else do you think needs to happen? So we're seeing these neighborhoods pop up, like the amazing Brentwood, or even in Edmonds, we're seeing things pop up in these big city plans that the city is unveiling, Bainbridge and Lockdale. Does that density help create a sense of community, or do you think that sense of community will kind of be annexed as its own zone? Is that helping the overall identity of Burnaby? What are your thoughts on that? Does anybody just want to jump in?
Can I just say, I think that the vertical communities have challenges in terms of how you can connect in an apartment building that you can't stop on everybody's floor, right? And I think that the sense of community and creating connections is even more important with these vertical communities going up. And so the Burnaby Neighborhood House sponsors the Neighborhood Small Grants. It's a project funded by the Vancouver Foundation. And the purpose of those are for neighbors to be able to apply for funds that where they can lead projects to that bring their neighbors together. And I know that a couple of years ago we piloted one in those in the vertical communities, but it was really difficult to get people to connect to each other.
That's really interesting. You see a lot of people in one area and then you think, oh, they're their community, but it's very different than having, you know, your neighbor next door or something like that. That's a great point, Tanya. Andy, you seem like you want to add something.
No, but that's exactly the issue. Is just because you have a lot of people in a single area, it doesn't necessarily mean that you have an instant community. Mm-hmm. That it's very much, I think, how they mix or not. I think that there are, I think, some profound challenges in terms of vertical suburbs, the vertical sprawl. Do you have the opportunities for people to mix? Do you have the designs? Like, this is where design comes into play. The design from the buildings, the urban design on the ground, that do they create those chances to meet your neighbor, to kind of have the casual kind of bumps that create these types of relationships that you get to see people. I mean, the last 2.5 years, ooh, it's been a pretty tough kind of road to follow in terms of the importance of interaction. Of really, if anything, that's probably one of the toughest things that we've all been dealing with in the last 2.5 years, is really how the kind of basic elements of community formation is really been challenged. And yet I think as you kind of see these new buildings, these new buildings just erupt all over the city, is that you may have density, but do you have community?
That's a really good question. You may have density, do you have community? Victor, anything from your thoughts that you want to add here?
Yeah, I would agree with what everyone has said. I think the gentrification that has happened in Burnaby, especially when it's not properly managed, does seem to, it can be definitely tricky when it breaks apart existing communities and networks, and especially when the types of homes that are being built are catered towards like a specific demographic that is more concerned with homes as like a private investment vehicle rather than actual homes for like living in and connecting with neighbors. I think that definitely creates a lot of challenges in creating that sense of community or trying to create that sense of community. So yeah, I think just adding density, that's a very artificial way of trying to like emulate the more organic community building nature.
Just thinking, just to go off of that, you know, the community plans that the city of Burnaby has been kind of revealing, I'm not too sure if you're familiar with them. Most recently, they just chatted about the Edmonds community plan. And you look at it and it does seem really cool and innovative. They have green spaces, park areas, you know, cafes and terraces. Do you think that the city is maybe being a little bit thoughtful though, and creating kind of detracting from these vertical communities and trying to make sure that they can build an identity through planning? Do you see that actively happening at the planning level in the city?
I think that it's certainly an aspiration for, I think, a lot of planners and working not only with urban planners, but urban designers and architects in really understanding that limitation of really getting all these opportunities to really create these chances, these chances in terms of meeting up. And I think that I just see that Gordon Price wrote out about how elevators and lobbies and gyms. And I think that that's, I think similarly, I think those opportunities to meet up. But yet at the same time, I think what everybody's been going through for the last 2.5 years, that it's been, everything's been covered by lava. Right. And then you don't want to be in that area for any longer than you possibly can. And I think that that's really been to the detriment of not only Burnaby, but to buildings across the region. And I think that in kind of, as we kind of reemerge out of this, that I think that this is really going to be some of the key challenges. But I'm curious to see what my fellow panelists think about that.
Anything to add there, Antonia, Victor?
Yeah, I think there's always an interesting transition between how like upper level planning actually translates like on like a day-to-day basis. Like I think a lot of planners will think that something will create community or there's like a model that we follow, but then when it actually like gets executed, there's something missing. So I think there can always be some challenges in that translation.
Mm-hmm. I would just like to add that I think that there is thought happening in terms of spaces and walkways and places to gather and, you know, the requirement of taking a look at amenity spaces in, you know, in some of these buildings that are being built. But I think it's the people that will build the community and the opportunities that we put forward and to pull people together and provide those opportunities. And I think that for families that, you know, that have their children in the schools, that's an immediate connector. And then people kind of meet in that way. Or at dog parks, you know, they meet that way. But if people are not connected in terms of, you know, they might be single or they might not have, it's harder to meet friends, I think, if you're living isolated in your own apartment. But if you're going out, and I think the city is, you know, thinking about the how people, you know, where people might gather. And I think of Metrotown, where the Neighborhood House is right on Beresford there. And, you know, there's like benches along there. And I know that's the vision that the city had in terms of a walkway right to Central Park. And and the city is great for like green, like having parks and green spaces right near these, these big developments and the requirement for these, the developers to build some amenity spaces. I was listening to the mayor speak yesterday about, you know, the, at the Board of Trade luncheon and the projects that are being built in the developments, you know, at Lougheed, at Cameron, at, in Brentwood. There's lots of thought going into recreation and in the communities where people are moving.
Mm-hmm. I like what you said there, Antonia. Like, you know, it does take effort from folks in communities to get out there and connect. I mean, you can't expect a park to create connection. There needs to be people there to connect with each other. So that's very true. There's a lot of multifaceted, you know, aspects to creating an identity and sense of community. One of the things I also wanted to just move on to is, again, the changing landscape of Burnaby and kind of the loss of some of our smaller mom and pop shops and businesses and restaurants. I always revert to Edmonds because I grew up in Edmonds. It's what I think of when I think of mom and pop shops and them kind of evolving into these really, really bustling town centers. Does this kind of transformation detract from the ability to maintain or build culture? I mean, when we're losing these, you know, these small shops, that neighborhood restaurant, what happens to the sense of identity for residents?
Well, Well, that's actually one of the interesting things is really how then we talk about the role of density and how that, if you will, density isn't a destination, it's a means to an end. And I think that when we think about some of the most vibrant communities that can have these mom and pops really thrive, that they will have a certain level of density. And I think that a density of diversity, that it's not only just a plain old body heat, but in that kind of mixing of people, that you'll see certain parts feature that sense of community. I know that certainly the part of Burnaby I'm most familiar with, the Heights, similarly, I think has a kind of thriving mom and pop scene, but yet is challenged. You think about really what's going on with the Glen Burn soda fountain, and really how it's most likely going to be shut down because of its rising rents. And yet, I think at the same time, you kind of then wonder like what is perhaps the future of these institutions that build community. That it isn't only about what government can do, but then also these kinds of small businesses that really shake forward an identity. I don't mean to go for this conversation, but then I think about like how me and Ed's pizza parlor, right? For me, nothing says Burnaby than me and Ed's pizza parlor, right?
I agree.
And I mean, I would throw it out to this panel, to the chat. Food is a huge part of identity, massive. And then I would say, if I was an outsider from Burnaby, which I am, that my brother is not. My brother's a Burnabyite. Is that right? You know how you have Vancouver, right? Is a Burnabyite a Burnabyan?
We're still deciding on that one.
Okay. Well, maybe yeah. This is where this panel can really kind of figure, or this panel with the guests, what is that type of geo identity? But then, mixed in with that geo identity, it also goes into, well, food, into the feel of a community, a feel of an identity. That is it, like, well, me and Ed's pizza parlor? Is it dumplings over at the Crystal Mall? Is it Orange Julius over in Brentwood? Is it, soda over, soda and ice cream from Glenburn? So I put it out to my fellow panelists.
That kind of made me hungry. anything to add there, Antonio, Victor, regarding, the changing landscape of mom and pop shops, maybe disappearing, and what it means to maintain a culture or build identity?
Well, I hope they don't disappear, because some of my favorite restaurants are the mom and pop shops. And I know that the Edmonds community, it was known for the mom and pop shops, because whenever we were planning the festival, the street festival, it was really hard to get sponsorship because they couldn't necessarily afford to contribute funds to put on a festival on there. As the BIAs also add to the ability to do things in the community. And the Heights has a business association, but Edmonds could never really get it together, because those mom and pop shops couldn't really afford to, or didn't want their taxes to to go up. But I hope they don't disappear, because I think it does give neighborhoods character, and especially I think of the Edmonds area, of how the just the diversity of the different ethnic foods that you can get as you walk along, Edmonds. Actually, the Heights too.
Well, the Italian community. I think about the Italian influence along Hastings Street. It's Rocky's Meats. I see Anton's on the list here. There's that incredible kind of Italian deli complex, along with some of the most amazing bakeries in Metro Vancouver, I should add. And how much that kind of fits into an identity, and how that is very, of course, North Burnaby. Somebody talked about North and South Burnaby, and please tell me more, as the outsider to this, tell me more about North and South Burnaby. Is there this kind of North and South, and no doubt of the East and West?
If there is an East. Mind. That was actually what we're going to transition to. But before we do, Victor, anything to add? We're just talking about food right now. Now I'm honestly, I think we should all go for dinner after this, but yeah. Anything to add, Victor?
I think Andy and Antonio have covered all the bases. I think small businesses mm-hmm. add a lot of vibrancy, and it would be sad to see them go.
Now,
Cockney King, by the way, Cockney King for fish and chips. That's another kind of like, it's one of my thing. And like, all these people follow me for urban planning and housing. No, they follow me for my food photos. So everybody can feel free to follow my Twitter.
It's also why I follow you, Randy. So good segue though, Andy, we were just talking about the north-south divide and what impact that has to Burnaby as a whole and maybe creating its identity. I saw this in the chat, and I also, just a little anecdote, I remember mentioning in the Beacon that one of my favorite parks was Fraser Foreshore, and somebody was like, it's totally inaccessible. Like, you just can't get from this point of the city to the other point of the city without kind of getting a headache through transit or, you know, car. So what do you think, there is a clear divide here when it comes to north-south? I know that in the comments somebody also said east-west, but does that kind of divide the city to the point where we are creating different parts of it where people cannot connect and in doing so can't build this kind of city identity? Sorry, that was a very long-winded question, but I'm saying, like, are we divided, basically?
I think it depends on your ability to get around in terms of, I think of Burnaby as a place that has many parks and destinations to go to. So as a whole, Foreshores Park is the destination from somebody who might be living in North Burnaby, just as, going to Confederation Park for the Italian picnics for people that live in South Burnaby. But I think that the freeway definitely divides the, north from south. And that's really the neighborhood house developed in terms of that freeway that goes through. So we have like a north house that's building community in the north, and then a south house that's kind of building community in the south. And it's more about access and ability to get to those different locations. I was pleased to hear the mayor say that there's a plan to, I don't know if you've heard this, to expand the SkyTrain to go from Metrotown Brentwood and then over to the North Shore. That would be just awesome in terms of connecting north to south.
Mm-hmm. Victor, do you have anything to add?
Yeah, I think there is definitely a divide, mobility-wise, as Antonio was alluding to, especially because the SkyTrain, just goes in, a circle, around Burnaby. I feel like it is a lot easier to go from Burnaby to, an adjacent city than it is to go from, north to south or, vice versa.
Yeah, that's very true. I think about accessibility right now where I live in the city, and for me just to get to Metrotown and how long it takes. Yeah. I mean, it's almost closer for me to hop to Vancouver via the highway. So sometimes it just doesn't work the way you want it to travel around the city and be mobile and attend events, let's say, in the Heights and be present there and explore that part of the city. So I think that is an important part to bring up, that there isn't really that geographical connection and we're kind of divided. Right. Oh, yes, please go ahead.
No, there's an urbanist who's very, I think, fairly famous, Kevin Lynch. And he's a really famous urbanist, and he has this idea of mental maps. And amidst the ideas of a mental map are edges. And it sounds like Highway 1 is a very strong edge in Burnaby that, does separate east and west. And I think north and south, and that very much that comes into play. But then I remember working on a project once and then looking at the demographics of Burnaby and then actually even looking there is a very serious east-west divide. There's actually quadrants in the city that really cover housing, as I think Victor can perhaps talk about, but then also socioeconomic status around really immigration. You have a lot of refugee communities in certain parts of the city that has a certain housing stock that meets their needs. And I was curious about how that kind of plays out into how the city operates.
Any thoughts there to add? Anyone? I see Victor thinking, but maybe I'll let him hold his thought. And you know what's interesting is this is a good conversation to have today because it kind of picked up on Twitter. CBC journalist Justin McElroy, you know, he always has something to say about Burnaby. I don't know if he's attending, but he's always joking about Burnaby. And you know, he had a Twitter thread and poll about the city today. You know, is it boring? What makes it distinct? And it was like the parks, the SkyTrain, or that it's like right beside Vancouver. But in that threaded comment, there was City of Burnaby media spokesperson, the lovely Chris Brian, and he kind of replied to that chat and said, and asked this question, so I'll ask it to you all, is how does this idea of a street vibe of a city affect how people view its identity? So let's say if Burnaby worked on developing certain, you know, great parts of it, like the waterfront or near Fraser Foreshore Park or areas where people like to gather and developing that a little bit more into like a restaurant district or a brewery district, would that change how people think about the city? And for example, you have Steveston Village or the shipyards in North Van. Is Burnaby missing kind of that really cool community hub that people will flock to because it's just a great place to hang out?
Well, you know, to be controversial, one might say it's Metro Town.
Oh, okay. I don't know people love Metro Town.
there was another urbanist group that came in to analyze the various spaces in metropolitan Vancouver, and they were distinctively honest in talking about one of the few places that are the mixes that really blend people together in metropolitan Vancouver is Metrotown, and how that is a certain honesty candor, if you will, versus all these kind of aspirational spaces that we may talk about, but that at the end of the day, I'll see you at that mall.
You know, I think I raised my eyebrows at me because I had a really stressful experience at the mall trying to find my husband clothes for an upcoming wedding. So I just was like, oh my God, Metro Town. But I know it's a good place to hang out. And Tanya, for you, you know, somebody who's so entrenched in the city, is it missing that place where like you can do programming, let's say for the neighborhood house or take kids on day trips? Like, does it have that cool aspect or is it missing that? Or are there little pockets of that?
Well, I think that I agree. Metrotown is the destination. I host international students. They always hang out. The destination is always, let's meet at Metrotown. But I think that there's lots of things to do in the city that are like natural that aren't built like this. I think that the parks, the natural parks that we have, is kind of the outdoor playground of Burnaby. And then we've got Heritage Village Museum. That's a cool place to go to. And Burnaby Mountain is another cool place to go, you know, as a destination. And so I don't know if it's missing more. I think it's evolving. And with the town centers, I think that they will become places to hang out. I hear that Brentwood has a really cool adult hangout where you can go and play games. I haven't been there yet. My adult kids want to bring me there, but I'll make it there sooner or later. Mm-hmm. So I think that it is evolving and developing. And I think the community centers, I am so impressed with the city and, you know, the development that the plans that they have in terms of sports arenas and really bringing sports to Burnaby, being seen as the place to, you know, have tournaments and Tourism Burnaby really promoting the city in that regard. The arts have really been, you know, stepping up in Burnaby with the Stride Arts Festival, which the Neighborhood House has, you know, initiated with community members who are artists in North Burnaby. And now, you know, the goal is that's going to be like a citywide festival. So really building on the arts. And I know that's not answering your question. It's like there's so many things to do. Do you really need like a brewery district or whatever? There's so much to do in Burnaby that's just kind of natural and just happening.
Mm-hmm. Victor, how about you? Do you find that there's that part of the city is missing as a gathering place? for young and old, kind of.
You know what? I was actually going to echo what Antonia had to say. I'm not actually sure Burnaby necessarily needs like a centralized destination. Like Antonia was saying, there are multiple different places that people gather, like Burnaby Mountain Park for everyone on Burnaby Mountain, or like Crystal Mall, or Barney Marine Park, or, you know, Deer Lake and canoeing and things. Like, sure, the city could probably do a better job at like activating these like gathering spaces a bit more, but I think they all serve really distinct purposes. So I'm not necessarily sure that there needs to be like one dedicated place for everyone to gather.
Mm-hmm. All right, so I'm just gonna ask the last question, but before I do, so we're at the 8:30 mark now. So if you do have questions, our lovely audience members, please do start putting them in the chat. If you have it for a specific person or just a general question, please, you can start doing that. I will get them. Srishti is helping me. She's going to be sending me the questions, and then we'll be asking our panelists for the last, you know, 10, 15 minutes and kind of picking their brains there. But I'll let you start asking the questions. But before we get to that segment, I'm going to kind of end off on this question that I have, and it's not a hard one, and maybe it's just an opinion one, but there is so much, maybe not so much, but there's a lot of chatter out there that Burnaby is boring. Is Burnaby boring? State your case, and let's go with Antonia, because I know she loves Burnaby so much. I am so interested to see what she says.
So I don't think Burnaby is boring, just for all the reasons I just stated, in terms of what, you know, what there is to do in, you know, in Burnaby, if you want to. If you want to get involved and you want to get out there and meet people, then, you know, there's lots of things to do. There's like the various recreation centers, and there's festivals and malls. There's like three malls in, if you like to shop in Burnaby, and all the food places that you can go to. There's tons of stuff. There's theaters, movie theaters, bowling. You really don't need to leave Burnaby to have fun. I mean, I guess you don't have the nightclubs, but now look at all the breweries that are starting to pop up. So I don't think I would ever be bored in Burnaby. And for those that don't have, you know, friends, or don't know what to do, then often the neighborhood, that's the role of the neighborhood, is connection. And, I encourage people who are wanting to get involved and connected to the community to come on in and say, hey, what is this? What can I do to help? And that's how you also get involved and meet people.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Victor.
Yeah, that's a good question. I think it really depends on what you're trying to do. Like, if you want to go clubbing and go to a concert, then yes, Burnaby is super boring. But Burnaby has a lot of other things to do. And I guess my question is there anything wrong with being boring either?
Mm-hmm. Good question. Maybe that should be our motto.
is Burnaby boring? I think it was interesting, again, keeping an eye out on the comments. It's, Burnaby, I don't think it's boring, but I think that question of, is it understated? That I think that one of the things, I think that that's an interesting challenge for a lot of cities, is how interfaceable is it? Is it something that embraces you? How friendly is Burnaby? Is it something that embraces strangers? I mean, here's an interesting stat, is that in 2016, 50% of the population in Burnaby are international immigrants, that they all move internationally to live in Burnaby. But here's the other interesting stat. So 50% of Burnaby are immigrants from abroad. In 1931, 46% of the population was international immigrants. So you almost kind of see a history here, and really how they build community, how this community renews itself, refreshes itself, I think is perhaps one of the kind of big kind of questions into its future.
And that is our panel discussion for today on the topic of does Burnaby have an identity, moderated by Burnaby Beacon editor Simran Singh and featuring SFU's Andy Yan, along with Antonia Beck and Victor Yin. This will be up on our website. You can look for it there. Thanks for tuning in today. You've been listening to Speak Up here on CJSF 90.1 FM, coming to you from the top of Burnaby Mountain. Please stay tuned for Democracy Now! Coming up next.
You're listening to CJSF 90.1 in Burnaby, British Columbia, broadcasting from the unceded territories of the Coast Salish peoples.